Great Outdoors on Main Street in Hurleyville near the rail trail. Morgan-Outdoors.com.
The White House asked Congress to pull back federal funding for public media that had already been approved, and Congress has gone along. We want you to know that NPR and this station remain committed to informing the public, increasing your understanding of the world, and hopefully enriching your life in other ways. But without federal funding, we're relying on your support now more than ever. Please make your gift to this station today. Here's how.
Give now at WJFFradio.org. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bill Williams. Join me for the Kingfisher Project on Tuesday, when my guest will be Camille O'Brien, Crisis Services Coordinator for the Department of Community Services for Sullivan County.
There's a lot of on-the-ground work to be had, and we're just trying to figure out how to make it happen. These are new services in Sullivan County. They're newer services in the world of mental health and substance use.
That's the Kingfisher Project on the Local Edition, Tuesday night at 6, only on Radio Catskill.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. This week, we've got the return of hippie food. It's delicious this time, with cookbook author Jess Dammit. And we get mind-blowing, simple cooking tips from one of our favorite chefs, North Carolina's own Ashley Christensen. It's coming up on The Splendid Table.
The Splendid Table, Sunday morning at 11, on Radio Catskill.
Good morning. Welcome to Catskill Character on Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg, and today my guest is Calicoon resident, Jungian depth life coach, interior designer, couture designer, property restorer. I mean, I could go on listing the skills of this woman. None other than Victoria Lesser. She's lived a peripatetic life, going back and forth between Key West, where she lived for 25 years and styled people in the Bee Gees and Aerosmith, and Palm Desert, California, where she lived in an Airstream trailer, and North Branch, New York, where she brought the old North Branch Inn back to life and worked in and lived in for 7 years. But she's also had another life as a psychotherapist, and nowadays she's building a practice as a life coach after completing a rigorous course in Jungian depth life coaching. She's always been torn between her varied passions, as people with an overabundance of talent often are, being pulled to do, to make, to explore, and to listen. Today, she's going to talk about her three properties in Calicoon, New York, and her life coaching practice. Welcome back to Catskill Character, Victoria. I am thrilled to have you on again.
I'm thrilled to be on again, Donna. Thank you.
Let's start with the empire you've built here in Calicoon, Victoria.
Okay. So it happens to be a small empire. When I say small empire, small footprints. I built the first house in 2018. I think I had just moved into it when we did the last show. And then I built this house. I just completed this house next door that I've moved into. The house that's to the left of the other, the first house I built, that was a consequence of COVID. I looked at it, knew I could do a great renovation on it. And at that point, it gave me the opportunity to have people visit me because we were still dealing with quarantine and things like that with COVID. My son lives in LA. So if he would have come to visit me, it would have been tough for him to come in on a plane and be in the house that was, it's small. It might be tall, but it's small. So I bought the other house and I jokingly said to people, I didn't need a larger house. I just needed two little houses next door to each other. Now, the empire, as you call it, includes a house that's to the right of the first house that I built. So I have the original house, I have one to the left, and I have one to the right. The one that's to the right is the one that I've just moved into. So I now have two houses that I designed myself and had them built from scratch. The other house was just a renovation. But this house is also a one bedroom, one bathroom. And one of the things about it that I love, it's easy to clean. So there's my empire. So three small houses, just like the three little pigs.
Well, very manageable, obviously, and very pleasant to look at, to be in. But I wanted you to also talk about why Calicoon, because you told me that you always wanted to live in Calicoon.
Well, my first introduction to Calicoon, even though I spent all of our summers up here from the time I was a toddler. So we never came to Calicoon. We were over in the Lock Sheldrick area. And it was the at that time when, before air conditioning, when it was less expensive for my father to put my mother and four children at that time in a hotel for 8 weeks to feed us and entertain us for those 8 weeks. So my son, when he was 6 years old, and I had just gone through a second divorce, it was believed that he needed to be with better male role models. So it was decided that he was going to go to a sleepaway camp. And it was right across the bridge from Calicoon in Pennsylvania. It was a brother-sister camp called Swago Swatona. His male came to Calicoon, and visiting day, we would visit him in Calicoon. When he was 6 years old, for the first time, he went to this movie theater. My son is now 52. So it was a long time ago that I was impressed by Calicoon. I did not come back to this area until 2004. I came with a friend. We were antiquing. And then I looked in the window of Frieda Realty. And based on what was going on in Key West, the properties almost seemed like they were free. And I thought, you know what? I could finally get out of Key West in the summertime. And I wanted to be in Calicoon because I had two pugs at the time. I wanted to be able to wake up in the morning, get a coffee, get the New York Times, walk around. And I loved the feel of the town. I loved the movie theater. I loved the thought every time I walked by that when my son was a little boy, he went in that movie theater. So that was my attraction to Calicoon back in 2004. I could not find a property in town. That's when I bought the North Branch Inn. And obviously, you know, we've talked about this before. Make plans, God laughs. Didn't imagine myself living in the North Branch Inn, decided to restore it, at which point I was told, nope, you got to live here. So I thought, all right, you know, I'm good at eating what's on my plate. So at that point, I thought, all right, I'll be the innkeeper. That lasted for 7 years. And while I remember being asked once when the New York Times was doing a piece on the North Branch Inn, and he said, is this something that you always dreamed about doing? And I said, no, actually, this is something I always had nightmares about doing. You know, when my son had said, Mom, I never doubted you would make it great. He says, but now you're going to have to let people in. And I know you, you like things neat and clean. And I said, well, I'm asking the universe to teach me patience, tolerance, and understanding. And he said, well, there's easier ways. And there were. But the North Branch Inn was an amazing time because it was when, after opening it within the first year, when we were threatened with the fracking. The North Branch Inn was the only game in town at that point. So realtors were putting their clients at the inn. They were loving my design. I was getting lots of jobs off of it. And then when the threat of fracking happened and things stopped, fortunately enough, I had no fear about staging all of our protests from there. Because if we would have fracked up here, you know, I remember telling the town board, if they allow fracking, how do I change my license? And they said, why? I said, because I'm going to rent rooms by an hour, do a bordello and an opium den. Because what else would we do if we fracked up here? So that's that story. But and now how I ended up back in Calicoon. After I sold the inn, moved out to California, came back to work for the people who had owned the Antrim Lodge. They were doing a new job. And it turned out I was visiting a friend across the street, and there was a for sale sign on this empty lot. And I went,
well, you know, your first house, the dark house, is very modern, very minimalist. And it's really nothing like this second house that you've built, at least from the outside. And I want to just say, I think it's hysterical that every time you build a new house, you come on my show.
Oh,
it's just coincidental, but that's the way it happened. So I remember you telling me that everything you do, you deliberately bring psychology into. And that makes total sense since you've been a psychotherapist for many years. So as you look around the house that you recently finished and moved into, What aspects of your psyche, of yourself, do you see in the house?
I like houses to look like nobody lives here. As my son said, neat and clean. That's one of the reasons that in between guests showing up at the North Branch Inn, I had this whole house, 4 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms upstairs, the bar, the bowling alley, and all of that. And it looked like it was camera ready. You know, it looked like nobody lived there. As we get older, I like things that are simpler. Like, I will not buy a piece of furniture any longer that I can't at least push by myself. You can't imagine how many things I pushed up and down that bowling alley, up and down those steps, because when it comes to design, what's the presentation you want to make when someone walks in? If you're looking to capture their attention, whether it be to eat a meal, to stay in your room, or to hire me to do their interior design work. So when I look around this place, it's easy to clean. It does look like someone lives here, but it's neat.
That helps you to be calm. If you were living in a house that was more cluttered, the design elements were more cluttered, you wouldn't be relaxed. It wouldn't relax you. And that's that part of your psyche that you had to really think of when you were designing this house, right?
Well, yes. One, relaxed. The other part is distracting. I'm a multitasker. I always have been. As we get older, I'm not multitasking so much. My mind can move in different directions, but I want to make sure that I'm not tripping over things. I'm still very active, no doubt about it. Well, here's the other part, Donna. Look, the North Branch Inn was 4,500 square feet, and it was decorated with a combination of things. I always like to honor the architecture of the place. That was an old country inn that was built in the 1800s. I uncovered most of the treasures that were originally there and then restored them that way. But then I like to bring in some modern furnishings as well as antiques and things like that. So I had a lot of stuff. When I left there, one of the things that I was so over was stuff. Didn't want a lot of stuff because I have to move it usually. And then when I sold the inn and I moved out to California, I moved into a space that was under 500 square feet and loved it and loved it. I had a lot of great artwork, but I narrowed my artwork down to the art that I truly love. You know, the other thing that happens, and you know this when we have children, is we hold on to things because of what it means to us, whether the memory we have, because of how we got it, who we got it from, where it came from. And we sometimes think, ooh, I'm going to hold on to this for my son. He wants nothing. He grew up with the artwork. He knows the artists, because my favorite art right now is the art that was created for me by my friends when I lived in Key West. So the artwork that I have room for now is art that I love and has meaning. Now, whatever value they might have, not to my son. He grew up with a lot of this artwork. It might not be easy to let go of stuff, but it's simple because the actual memory. I'm a visual person. So when I walk in to any room, I look around. But when I'm in my house, there's not a detail that doesn't capture my eye every day. The bareness of the trees, but how amazing their structure is, how amazing the limbs are and things like that. I don't do that once. I do that every morning when I wake up. Those are the things that I cherish. That when my time comes to leave, I jokingly say I've sorted through enough stuff because I know what he'll throw out first. And whatever value there is to the other things, it won't be my problem.
As I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, I bet the listener is wondering why this woman, who is so talented and has done so many fabulous things as far as design and creation goes, why she changed her career now at this stage of the game, although not completely different, but certainly a different approach. And we're going to look at that in the second part of the show. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break. You've been listening to Catskill Character with me, your host, Donna Fehlenberg, and my guest, Renaissance woman, because she certainly is, Victoria Lesser. We'll be right back after these messages.
On the next Jazz Night in America, we're in Rhode Island for an hour of historic music from the Newport Jazz Festival through the years, handpicked and hosted by me, Christian McBride. Rare recordings by Ray Charles and saxophonist Cannonball Adderley, Sarah Vaughan hitting her stride, and later year performances from Duke Ellington and Louis Armstrong. You're not going to want to miss this. Join me for Jazz Night in America, Sunday at 8, here on Radio Catskill.
Hi, Angela Page from Folk Plus. I'll have a guest in this studio, the grandson of Mike Porco, famous owner of Folk City in Greenwich Village.
This is Bob Porco, and on the next Folk Plus, you'll hear Angela and I discuss the rich history of Gertie's Folk City and its beloved owner, Mike Porco, my grandfather.
That's the next Folk Plus Sunday at 2 here on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Catskill Character, and if you've just joined us, I'm Donna Fellenberg speaking today with my guest, Victoria Lesser. Victoria has been called designer to the stars, a creative dynamo. And in the first half of the show, we spoke about how she put that creativity to work on designing couture clothing, houses, interiors, etc. In the second half of the show, we're going to talk about another aspect of her creativity, practicing the art of psychotherapy and now doing Jungian life coaching. Now in her 70s, she's just completed a Jungian course in life coaching, and she's once again helping people to get out of their own way and live full, satisfying lives. Victoria, first off, perhaps you can differentiate for the listener between life coaching and psychotherapy, and then talk about the difference between life coaching and Jungian depth life coaching. I know that's two questions in one, but
that's okay. That's okay. It'll be an easy answer. So one, as you know, being a psychotherapist, when we are trained as psychotherapists, we're basing that on a medical model. I was trained to be able to figure out when a client comes to you with a problem or a challenge, is how to diagnose that and what tools I use to help them. When it comes to what I'm doing, which is Jungian depth life coaching, we know what a coach is. You know, you could be a coach with basketball or baseball and things. This is life coaching. And what I'm trained in is Jungian depth life coaching. And this course is based on the teachings of renowned psychotherapist Carl Jung, Eastern philosophy, and neuroscience. Those three things, Jung, what separated him from Freud was the fact that he embraced the spirits that we are. I'm not talking about religion in any way, however anyone chooses to identify with the spirit that they are. I'm talking about our essence. So that's what separated him from Freud. So we now have, we're looking at ourselves as the spiritual beings we are doing this human experience, rather than thinking of ourselves as human beings once in a while having a spiritual experience. So that's what Jung did. The Eastern philosophy is basing a lot of our understanding on the work that's been passed on for 4,000 years now. It's called the Upanishads, of those that explore what's our life purpose as the beings that we are, the people doing this experience. You know, we all come with a purpose. A cockroach comes with a purpose to sort of, I don't know, clean up the crumbs. We come with a purpose as the humans that we are. When it comes to Jungian depth coaching, that means that we're doing coaching with psychology, not as a psychotherapist, as a Jungian depth life coach. So we will touch on shadow work, family issues, things like that. But we're coming into it with the belief that nobody's broken. We all have stuff. There's no doubt about it. We all have wounds. We all have issues that trigger us. But no one's broken. So Jungian depth coaching is it's just looking at and exploring the different levels that we experience as the people that we are. based on our life experience, based on the life that we were brought into.
You did say at some point in your life, and I'm quoting you here, I can always go back to being a therapist when I get old. So I'm going to be asking you this question that I thought in the first half of the show, some of the listeners might be thinking, why did you decide to do a year's intensive study of a new methodology rather than go back to practicing as a psychotherapist?
Well, because I found this program to be profound. And no matter how old we are, if we're still here, we have questions. And I still had questions about myself that I wanted answered. So, and one of the questions that I've come to recognize that I needed to be answered, and this is helpful, I believe, in anyone's stage in life. Who am I now? Who am I now? So a year ago, and I'm still available for design consulting, because my eye is great when it comes to, you just bought a house, should we put a window here, a door here, and things like that. So I can be called in for that. But I was now, my business had evolved into I had to bring the builders. I've reached a stage in my life where I want to be the only one who has to show up for work, because I always show up. Make myself available to the clients that might find themselves in the same position I did a year ago. What am I doing? What's my purpose? I'm still here. People say, when are you going to retire? When I'm dead. Because I've got a lot of energy. So right now for me, this program, the Art and Design of Conscious Living, this last year of this program helped me to design my life, not as the designer, but as the person who now lives this designed life that is simpler, more peaceful, loving, and serves the purpose. My purpose always seemed to be, wherever I am, I want to leave it in better shape than I found it. There was a time it was dressing your body. There was a time it was dressing your bed. Now it's about what's going on in our heads. And it's about people getting in touch with the one thing that creates our conditions, our mind. What we think about is what we create. And it's not about blame. It's about being able to take responsibility and the power that we possess to be all that we imagine ourselves to be in a good way.
How do you feel about face-to-face therapy or coaching versus remote coaching?
Well, I love face-to-face. You know, when it comes to remote, and it makes it very convenient to have Zoom and things like that. That means I could see people that are from all around the world. If that's how far my reach is supposed to go. Do I love seeing my little face up in that corner? No, I look like my mother, but those are things that I have to get past. I also have my guest house next door. I'm going to be setting up retreats. So yes, I'm available to one-on-one coaching, which I would rather do, because I feel like it's like if I was doing a garment for you. What are you going to do, mail me measurements? No, I need to measure. I need to see your body. I need to see how you move so I know what works. I find it's the same thing. Let me hear your voice. Let me see the face that you make when something brings you joy or you go to that place of fear. And I think that works much better face-to-face. But good thing about Zoom is that it gives me a wider range of people that could reach out to me. But I love the thought, because I've always done custom, whether it be custom clothes, custom house. I want to do the same thing when it comes to this, based on the teachings of Carl Jung, Eastern philosophy, and neuroscience. I'm not making up the program. I'm custom designing this program for any person who comes to me with the same question.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Who am I now? And where do I want to be?
You know, as a woman moving through her 70s, who has acute visual sensitivity and is a psychotherapist and a life coach, how do you approach aging as it applies to you and as it applies to a client who may come to you with aging as her presenting problem? And we've already run out of time, but I really want you to answer that question.
Well, you know, we've been presented with that problem throughout the time we've been growing up, aging. I mean, teenager, am I going to grow? Is my body going to change? Am I going to get taller? So there's always been that sort of thing that's happened with us when it comes to questioning aging. This part, we ain't done yet. You know, what is it that signifies you're done, short of what we know signifies done? We know that when we get to this stage in our life, I mean, I'm running the last leg of the marathon. Do I want to, you know, slow down? Sometimes I do have to slow down based on the nature of the beast. Do I want to slow down? No, because I have so much more to share. Hmm. So I'm not afraid of the aging part. When I started this program, I'll make it brief. I thought, oh my God, am I going to even be alive when this program is over? Then it was, oh my God, am I worth the investment? It was an expensive program. I've managed, I finished the program tomorrow. I am certified. I have all of these things to look forward to sharing. So when it comes to people who, whatever age they are, we know that there are some things that have changed dramatically. You know, I'm grateful I'm not living in a country right now that says run for your life, because I'm not running. You know, I'm walking, but I
can't run.
Yeah. So that's the part, is that as long as we don't bring fear into the equation, then it could always be a challenge that can be worked on.
Yeah, I think that's a really important aspect that you're bringing out, is that if our lives are run by fear, what happens is we get paralyzed. But you know what? I would love to do a whole show with a panel of women discussing this. So thank you for that idea, Vicky. And thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so happy to have had you on again.
Oh, Donna, not as grateful as I am that you said, come on again. So thank you so much. I'm in awe of the person that you are. Oh. I really am. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I could even say to people, oh, you know my friend Donna? So.
Well, you have been listening to Catskill Character on WJFF Radio Catskill with me, your host, Donna Fellenberg, and my guest, Calicoon, New York resident and Jungian depth life coach, among many other things, Victoria Lesser. Victoria's website is theartanddesignofconsciousliving.com. Catskill Character is on every Saturday at 10:30 on Radio Catskill, except the last Saturday of the month when I share the 10:30 time slot with Greg Triggs, Travels with Triggs. Be sure to join us then for more fascinating stories from fabulous characters of the Catskills and beyond. I'm Donna Fellenberg, producer and host of Catskill Character, right here on Radio Catskill. And I thank you for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from The Homestead School, Montessori Education, preschool through early college with campuses in Glens Bay and Hurleyville, building the intelligence, creativity, connection, and skills for an ecological future since 1978, thehomesteadschool.com, and from Sullivan 180, building healthy communities through people, places, and policy, one degree at a time. More information at sullivan180.org. And from listeners like you.
Next time on the Retro Cocktail Hour, Dick Shorey's Percussion Pops plays Duke Ellington, Ferrante and Teicher go Hawaiian, and Martin Denny plays Les Baxter. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Join me where the music's always shaken, not stirred. The Retro Cocktail Hour. Wednesday night at 7. Here on Radio Catskill.
Next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour, former CIA Director John Brennan on why he's a target for the Trump administration.
The Trump administration is following some of the political theories of Carl Schmitt that really served as the basis for a lot of thinking of the Nazi Party, which is you want to do everything possible that's going to vanquish your enemies.
John Brennan joins me next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Listen Sunday at 6 for the New Yorker Radio Hour on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. You're listening to Radio Catskill.